This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time. Covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Pastor, how you been?
I'm doing great, Mike. Good to be with you.
Yeah,
and I hope you've had a good week.
I have. Yeah, it's good to see you. You look dapper today.
Well, I was at a funeral, so that makes it makes it tough.
Yeah, it does. It does. I'm sorry to hear that, but you still look dapper. I walk in and you're walking around the building as always, shaking hands, kissing babies, Pastor.
Looking important.
Looking important. Everybody thought you got promoted. I said, no, he didn't. He's still just my sidekick. He is just my sidekick. Hey, I'm excited about today's show. Let me tell you a little bit about it real quick. Pastor, I had Trish, who sits across from me, came up to me, I don't know, a couple months ago and said, hey, I may have somebody for Faith in the Zone. And she goes, I can't remember his name, but he was really good. He talked, he gave his testimony at Southbrook. And I said, excellent. And she texted a few people and somebody didn't get back to her and kind of forgot about it. And all of a sudden, Sally, who's another sales rep here, walked in with our guest. And Trisha was going, that's him. That's him. And I go, that's who? She goes, that's the guy I was telling you about. And I said, I know Johnny. And she goes, you do? Well, you should have that guy in Faith in the Zone. So our special guest for the entire hour, he's a local guy. He's doing really good work. And I'm excited about today's show. He's Johnny Bridgewater from Bridgewater Performance, but way more than that in this young man's life. Johnny, how you been?
I'm blessed, man. Thank you. It's finally sunny and warm outside. Wisconsin's throwing my mental off a little bit.
yeah, mine too. But man, it feels good, doesn't it? Hey, let's talk a little bit about your upbringing, Johnny. Where'd you grow up? Where'd you go to school? Stuff like that.
So I grew up in Milwaukee. My mom was 15 when she got pregnant. My dad was 15, had me when she was 16. So definitely when you hear a story like that, typical inner city kid or typical anything. And you know, the odds were definitely against me according to statistics. But you know, I'm very grateful for the grandfather that I had and grandmother that I had. Kind of showed me the way. They showed me Christ and they showed me, you know, how to be born again and things like that. But at the end of the day, I was just a bitter kid. Just kind of shut everybody out and did my own thing. I knew God was there. Even when I was at Southbrook, when I tell a story, you know, I always say, keep God in your corner, right? But I shoved him in the corner. Like, I kept him in the corner, and he was always there. You know, it's kind of like pulled him out when I needed him, and I put him back in the corner, yet he never left me. So even though I put him in that corner and sometimes shoved him down in there, he'd come out and be like, hey, remember, I'm here. You know, growing up in Milwaukee was kind of tough. Like I said, my grandparents did a good job, and
Johnny, where'd you go to school?
I went to Whitnall High School after a stretch of MPS where I got myself kicked out.
Ended up, yeah. You know what, but a heck of a football player, right?
Yeah, I was decent.
Yeah. Got a chance to play in college?
Yeah, I had a ride to Ball State, and I went for spring camp, and then that's when I had my son. So it wasn't so much of put the helmet on, shoulder pads, get out on the field. As far as like the football career goes, but I did have a chance to experience the whole college experience as far as football goes. And then I did play professionally for arena football in California for a couple of years. That was fun.
Yeah. Do you know, I worked in that arena game. Do you know that?
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I was the director of sales marketing with the Mustangs here in Milwaukee.
Oh, that's
for
awesome.
A couple of years.
Yeah.
And we went winless the first year.
Yeah.
It's a long year, brother.
Yeah,
it's a long year to start a franchise and go winless. But That is a fast, tough game.
Yeah, it's. That's actually how I had my career-ending shoulder injury, was in an arena football game.
Really?
Yeah. The guy went in motion, so instead of making the smart play and trying to intercept the ball, I wanted to intercept his head off with my shoulder, and my shoulder got caught in a pile, and it ripped out of socket, and now I have a fake shoulder.
Oh, I thought you were trying to put him in the stands or something.
Yeah, well, that too.
Yeah, lot of stuff like that going on.
Yeah, on Johnny, on the arena football, I just did some indoor soccer one time, and I mean, man, if you were up against the wall or whatever, I mean, guys would come and just supposedly going for the ball, but man, they would just put your face right into the wall.
Yeah.
I mean, how with arena football, I mean, how do guys not have their necks snapped and all with the walls right there? I mean, is there some rule that you can't hit a guy when he's at the point of the wall, or what's it?
No, you can't. Essentially, like, after they've hit the wall, you can't re-hit them, because at a certain point the ball is out of bounds.
Oh, so the wall would be out of bounds.
Essentially, if the ball kind of goes over the railing, it's out of bounds.
But they encourage you to put guys in the seats.
The wall
is
like the arena's eight people on the field. It's eight athletes at the same time. So, you know, as a defensive specialist, what I was called was a glorified safety. That's your ninth man is the wall. You know what I mean? Without pass interference. If you force them to the wall without touching them, and it kind of called it like a kill shot, you know?
Yeah, and you know, and being a defense specialist in arena football, you have to have a really short memory.
Yes.
Because you're going to give up 70, 80 points.
Right.
And you got to get one stop sometimes.
Right.
If you can get one stop, you get a chance. If you can only, you know, give up a field goal, you got a chance to win the game.
My goal is 2.25.
2.25?
Yeah, to be honest. I mean, it was, you know, it's like NBA scores sometimes.
Right. When we were, I flew with the Mustang team to Worcester, Massachusetts, and we were up by 6 with the ball with under a minute to go, and we're going to win our first game. And our quarterback hit a receiver, and at the 2-yard line, defensive back knocked it out of his hands. Next play, they scored. So now we're down 1 with 30 seconds to go. They kick off, it hits the post, they recover it in the end zone for a touchdown. So we went from being up 6 with under a minute to go and scoring another touchdown to end this thing to losing once again.
Yeah,
that was a long flight home, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
What is, it seemed like arena football was pretty big, I mean, several years ago. I mean, I could see on television. What is the status of arena football right now?
I've been kind of frustrated lately with football in general, just arena football died down. They still have it.
It's still around.
I believe they stream it on Facebook now, or it's streamed somewhere.
So it's not necessarily on...
seen like Philadelphia Soul. I've seen some of these teams that are still...
The Arena Bowl and stuff like that is on TV, or maybe the playoffs. But they used to have AFL on ESPN and all that fun stuff. And, you know, now they don't even have NFL Europe anymore.
Right.
You know, it's for a sport that America loves so much, that the semi-pro or minor league aspect of it is slowly fading away. And it actually kind of hurts my feelings, because, you know, there's so much talent out there. And sometimes it's about who you know to get you in front of the right people, because there's talented people that I know that should probably be playing in one of those avenues.
There were some players back in the day when I was there. In fact, the quarterback for the Iowa Barnstormers, he's in the Hall of Fame of the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, Kurt Warner. Kurt Warner, my goodness, trying to blank. I watched him play in arena football.
Yeah.
He was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's good.
I mean, he was unbelievable in arena football. And here's a guy that they picked out of the Iowa Barnstormers, and he got a tryout with the Packers, in fact, and he signed with the other team, and he played for, you know, he won a Super Bowl. He was unbelievable. So in that league, I agree. I'll tell you what, that's a tough league to walk worthy.
Yeah.
If to walk worthy and say, look, I'm a strong Christian, that's a tough league to be in that mold, because there's a lot of stuff going on in the towns. I know here in Milwaukee, we had some guys that were drafted in the NFL, still had a lot of money, and they're playing arena, and they're not being watched much.
Right.
You know, they come to practice 2 hours a day. We had to get them apartments. We got them cars.
Mm-hmm.
They had money, and they had a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah.
A lot of temptation when you're a professional football player.
A lot, especially on the road. In your own city, people know you.
Right.
So you almost want to hold a higher standard, right? But and no disrespect to arena football, but if you went to, let's just say, Arizona for a second, and you're going to go there and play the Rattlers or whatever it is, and you're in Arizona, you're not from Arizona, nobody knows who Johnny Bridgewater is, so right. Johnny Bridgewater can be Johnny Bridgewater.
Yeah.
Well, let's say when I played in L.A., a lot of people know the football team out there because L.A. is a huge sports city, and you kind of have to keep your P's and Q's a little bit tighter. Right.
Speaking of the team from Arizona, Danny White was the coach yeah. at that point. Mm-hmm. And they were flying in and for a game, and he was sitting in first class. One of his assistant coaches was back in coach, and the assistant coach came up to talk to him. And the steward said, "Hey, you got to go back." And Danny White said, "Hold on a second, we're talking about." And he said, "No, you got to go back now. He can't be up here." And so they got in this confrontation. And Danny White stood up and said, "Look, just, you know, knock it off." You know, they got into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, when they landed, the sheriffs were there waiting for him. And they took him into the holding cell and kept him there till like 6 o'clock. We had a 7 o'clock kick. He was like, "I'll never come back to Milwaukee." And I'm like, "Hey, that's not us.
Right.
You should have just had your guy go sit down. Plus, I didn't hold you." And he couldn't get out of this town quick enough, man. He was ready to go. We were talking to Johnny Bridgewater. Hey, if you want to know more about what he's doing, Bridgewater Performance, it is a new place that you can go for working out, nutrition, a lot of things. We're going to talk to him about that. BridgewaterPerformance.com is where you want to go. Also, we're going to talk to him about his walk, his testimony. The next segment, we're going to talk to him a little bit about that. And then Generations Against Bullying. He's doing a lot of things to make this city a better place. And we will continue our conversation with him on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM. The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner for Brookside Baptist Church. Our special in-studio guest, he's a local guy doing good work for this community, Johnny Bridgewater. Bridgewater Performance is the name of his company. Go to BridgewaterPerformance.com for more information. You know, Johnny, you had touched a little bit about your growing up and your grandfather and grandmother, big in your life.
Yes.
When we had a chance to talk off the air a couple of days ago, and you talked a lot about, look, I knew this, and you talked about, you know, putting God in the corner for a little while. You moving to California had a big impact on who you are right now.
Yeah. I did a lot of soul searching. It was insane. I remember it like I'm there right now because it was just such a special moment. And literally, I was sitting on the beach and just looking out to the waves and just praying to God, you know. And there was no like special cloud, there was no special sound, I didn't hear any voice, you know, a lot of sometimes you hear those stories where someone talked to me, someone this, no, I just felt this feeling in my body of just something come over, like a warm feeling where it was like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like I'm sitting here for a reason, and my wife's, who she's my wife now, but she was my girlfriend at the time. And when I went to California, she had stayed back. And it was a point in time where I was like, do I leave her? Do I wait for her? And at that moment I needed her. And so I went back and we had this conversation, and God blessed her to move out there with me, to bring her to me. And I started going to church with her from that moment on. And then she accepted Christ, and now she's my person to remind me, like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, what are you doing?
We had that conversation, yeah, where there are days that you said it to me, and I went, my goodness, that's my wife.
Yeah.
There are days that I'm struggling, mm-hmm, and out of the blue, she'll say, hey, I was just thinking about you.
Right.
I was praying for you.
Praying for you, yeah. Random text, when it's like almost, you know, the ESP or whatever they call it. She has like this sixth sense of, hey, Johnny's having a really bad day. Let's just see how he's doing. Even it's like, hey, thinking about you, how are you?
Yeah.
Just makes me smile.
Yeah, I agree. You know, yeah. Pastor, we, and I'm going to ask you a question, Pastor. We hear every week we hear a different story on how somebody has been led to the Lord. And Johnny has more of a background like I have than like you have. And I think you know where I'm going with that part of it. We're doing some things we probably shouldn't be doing for a while. And I love the fact when he says, look, I didn't have a special cloud. There no voices came to me, but it was a feeling like it was time. And what he said to me on the phone, it was the time to let the Lord out of the corner, to into my life. And I just, that brings tears to my eyes because I know, look, I've lived in the city of Milwaukee my whole life. I know 100 guys like Johnny, and 98 of them aren't doing the kind of great work that he's doing now.
And I think, Mike, what's great about the gospel is the Bible says we've all sinned. So no matter what our background is, whether, you know, your background or Johnny's background might have been even more difficult, and man, we did this, we did that. I mean, for someone who grew up in church as myself, I'm still a sinner. I mean, as a young boy, I was stealing ladies' purses in church. You know, I'd slide underneath the pews and slide them back to the back, and I felt bad. You know, Johnny, my dad was a pastor, so the folk, especially when visitors would come back to him and say, "Hey, can't find my purse," and he'd go, "Ah," and I wouldn't take anything out of them. I just thought they all looked pretty lined up together on the back wall.
You know, and, I do that at Brookside now.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I'm the guy.
You're the guy? Okay.
I'm the guy, in case anybody was wondering.
But nobody had to convince me I was a sinner. I mean, I tell people when you grow up in a pastor's home, you either end up, you know, in the ministry, you end up in prison.
Right.
Because you get such an expectation there. But I tell you what, I knew I was a sinner. I knew that the message was not something that was just for my dad or my mom or the church family. I knew it was for me too, that I had to come to a point in my own life, because God has no grandchildren. I had to come to a point in my own life to say, I'm a sinner. I see what Jesus did for me, and I put my faith and trust in him. And then after that, it's a growth process. It doesn't mean that I never, you know, I never sin. But right. But my relationship, just like with your... How many children you have?
Three.
Three? Just like with your kids, you're their dad, even though they might be in trouble with you and they're going to be under some discipline, they're still, and that's how it is with our Heavenly Father. I mean, he doesn't cast us off and say, no, I don't want you now.
Right.
He can spank us, and unfortunately, Mike and Johnny, I can tell you, those spankings I've gotten from the Lord have been pretty intense to bring me back to where I need to be. But I guess my main point is, God takes people from all areas of life. I mean, the gospel's for anyone. You know, somebody in prison, you know, somebody who says, man, I do really good. I'm going to get to heaven on my own goodness. No. We've all fallen short of what his standard is. His standard is perfection.
You know, and I tell people a lot when they come in for fitness, for example, it's not like selling a car, right? Faith and fitness are like exactly the same. If I have somebody come in to me and say, Johnny, I want to lose 100 pounds. Can you do it? Well, guess what? I can't show them any magic trick and snap my finger and say, boom, this is done, right? No, they have to have faith that I am going to do what it takes to get them from A to B. It's the same thing as faith in God. It's like, you can't see it. You can read it in the Bible, just like you can read fitness stories in a fitness book, or you can read stories on how Jesus did this and Jesus did that, right? But how do you know if you don't have faith, right? Otherwise, it's just a story. You know what I mean?
And to take that even further, look, I have to do the work, right? I've got to, when it comes to my faith, I've got to be willing to do the work, to continue to talk to pastor, to get you know, to read the Bible, to listen to him, and pastor's a really good preacher, and I enjoy Sundays until he goes too long, and then it's he kind of goes over sometimes, but you know
coming.
What I'm saying? And same thing with trying to lose that weight. You know, you can guide and direct,
correct,
right? And if I have faith and you know what you're doing, and I jump in, I'm going to see the success that I need.
And the great thing about saving faith is when Jesus was on the cross and he said, it is finished.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say, it's almost done now, it's up to you.
Right.
He's saying, I've taken it all on myself. And now as a new babe in Christ, I have the responsibility to start growing in my life. But as far as my salvation to live with him one day, he said, no, boys, I did it. It's on me. You can come to heaven and come and live with me through my sacrifice for you.
We are talking to Johnny Bridgewater. Again, he has opened a new facility called Bridgewater Performance, and we're going to talk a lot about that in the second and third segments of this show. Go to bridgewaterperformance.com. Johnny, did you know that this was the field? And it's funny because we talk a lot to guys on the show about the platform the Lord's given them. You got a wonderful platform because you get a chance to interact with people, a lot of people on a daily basis. Did you know, how long ago did you know that this was the field that you wanted to get into as far as training people and trying to help them get healthy?
I've been doing this for 15 years now. 14 years, I apologize, 14 years, 2005. I actually started this once I realized that football was done for me. I take that back. It wasn't done for me yet, but like as far as like the collegiate league goes and stuff like that, it was done. So I actually went to school for kinesiology. I stayed. And then I also have 7 certifications. But you know what, though? I didn't know that this is what I want to stay in. I just did it because I was like, okay, cool. It's a job. I love being fit myself. Let's help people. It's like when I started seeing how special it was when people lost 100 pounds or when people didn't have to get the surgery because they worked for it. Because I know that I worked for everything in my entire life. Nothing was handed to me. We didn't have much. My grandfather worked at Rockwell. And my grandma worked at a grocery store just to make ends meet because they were raising me, and I'm one of 31 cousins.
Okay.
So, and I'm oldest of 31 cousins. So it's like they did their best. So my grandfather instilled work ethic in me. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, I kind of raised myself because I was alone a lot, but I always followed like the guidelines my grandfather gave me and my grandma gave me.
Are they still around, Johnny?
Yeah, thank God they're still around. Yeah, yeah. They're awesome people.
Here in this
market? Yeah, they live in Milwaukee still.
So what is your grandfather's name?
His name is Jerry.
Jerry
Bridgewater, longtime Wisconsin umpire and Rockwell, yeah.
And your grandmother?
Darlene.
Darlene. So I'm hoping that they get a chance to listen to the show.
Yeah, me too.
Because they are, you know, as a grandfather myself, and both of us are, you worry about your grandkids a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, mine are younger and pastors are younger. And as they get older, and you hope that at the end of this journey, if they're going to get curious on some stuff,
right,
that they mature and they figure it out, well, they're really proud of you right now, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, beyond.
That's good. Did Jerry come work out at your performance?
I don't know. I'm going to have to give him some crap. He goes to... rides his little recumbent bike at Experience Fitness.
Man, you might give him a break on that cause too.
Yeah.
Well, Jerry and Darlene, you should be proud because this is a really good young man. And look, I say this a lot. I always want to know what my kids are like when they can't smell my cologne, right?
Yeah.
I'm not around the corner. I'm not in the car with them. And Jerry and Darlene, if you're listening, you did good. This is a young man that cares a lot about his community, cares a lot about the people that he works with. And you should feel really proud of what he's doing. He's Johnny Bridgewater, Bridgewater Performance. You can go to bridgewaterperformance.com. On the other side of the break, we're going to talk a little bit about Bridgewater Performance, some of the things you do, and then what some of the things you're doing for the Bucks and some of the things you're doing with Generations Against Bullying. I want to talk to you about that. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern alongside Pastor Ken Keltner for Brookside Baptist Church. Our special in-studio guest, Johnny Bridgewater from Bridgewater Performance, played arena football for a while, and he opened up Bridgewater Performance a while back, but he has now moved locations. Where are you guys located?
We're located in Highway 100. I call it... Franklin Corners, because it's the Hales Corners and Franklin border, right across from Menards in that Quick Trip in Garden Plaza strip mall.
Yeah, nice location.
Yeah, it's good.
I was looking at some pictures. I have not been there yet, but I will. I'm going to stop by there. It's a beautiful space.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, we turned an empty space that was 12 years into this beautiful piece of art. I call it art. You walk in there, you feel like you're walking into... I don't even know what to call it. You know, the feeling makes you want to work out.
How long did it take you to from the time you closed and said, okay, this is the space we're going to have? Because I was at your other facility.
Right.
And I'm not saying anything that you'll be upset about. It wasn't right. The greatest looking place.
Oh, no. You walked in the back dungeon.
Right.
Had to knock three times, wait 1 second, knock another time, and then we let you in the back door.
Secret knock.
Yeah,
secret
you know knock. What? And I did. We knocked twice, and nobody came, and then we knocked three times, waited, knocked, and then we got let in.
Yeah.
It was like a secret handshake,
Right.
Well, my question is, then when you got in, did he work you out, and then how long did it take for you to just be totally exhausted?
He did, but I wore him out, and he said no mas, no mas.
I wasn't ready. I didn't know what I let into my gym.
Exactly.
He had no idea a big boy like me could get after it so hard. No, absolutely not. How long did it take you then from the time you decided to turn this into what it is?
So I made my decision to leave that space June of last year, so 18, when I found that place in Franklin. And, you know, it was almost like a blessing from God, too, because I was going to sign another year there, and it was nice inside.
Yeah.
To an extent, you know what I mean? And then
you shared it with a baseball team.
Yeah. You know, there was kind of baseball holes and some areas and this and that. We had our differences, but you know what? It worked for that time. And then I was just looking on Craigslist, as funny as it sounds, and I was like looking at warehouses and spaces and scrolling and scrolling. All of a sudden, it was like sports facility or gymnastics facility open now. Oh, I was like, whoa, what's the worst thing that can happen? I go look at it and hate it. And I reached out, lady got back to me, met her there with one of my attorneys, and just to look at the space. And I was like, I have to make this work. Somehow, some way, I don't know how, but I'm going to try to make this work. And a week later, it ended up working out. And so let's say July 1st to March 1st when we opened and took to build it, because construction I never want to deal with again.
Yeah, I bet. Horrible, right?
Yeah.
Just to get things done and the delays.
And the hoops and the permits and, you know.
What do you have inside? I saw a basketball court.
Yeah, we have a middle school size basketball court, which is 76 feet, college 3, and then regular high school and middle school 3-pointer. 75 by, so about 4,000 square feet of turf, a 3,000 square foot Olympic weight room with rigs and deadlift platforms and dumbbells and TRXs. And now we have an MMA cage where I started working with UFC champ or former UFC champ Anthony Pettis, to where his instructors and his team teach different martial arts out the back of the gym, too.
Wow, that's showtime. He's a Dominican grad.
Yeah, he's. You say different? I'm just kidding.
No, dude,
I'm just kidding.
He's
a different athlete, and I mean that in a good way.
He's a freak.
Some of the stuff that man can do.
Yeah.
We were actually messing around one day, and I was like, hey, Biggie, who's one of his trainers, I said, hey, he said he's going to train me for a year, and then I'm going to fight you. And Anthony was messing around, and he barely uppercutted my rib. And I was like, yeah, I was just kidding. I was like, how did you do that? You barely touched me. And he's like, technique. It's just the angle and the proper, it's funny as it sounds, it's called an uppercut, right?
Yeah.
But you don't realize it's up and in the way he did it. And it wasn't even hard. And I was like, man, if you hit me really hard, I'd probably fall down and quit.
Could Pastor Ken and I come over, get in the ring against each other?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mike's a big, his big thing around here, Johnny, is he likes to shadow box everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hurt people here, shadow boxing them.
Jack Gardner, the production guy here, he messes with me, and he's got quicker hands, but if I can take away the space,
yeah,
I've got him.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, he got a little dinged up, and he claims I didn't do it, but, it's y'all playing stuff. I'm not messing with you. You're too young for me.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Well, you know what, Johnny? That is one of the first concessions I've heard him make. I mean, usually if you were a pitcher, hey, I can take you.
You know why? Because they're all on the phone. You're looking me right in the eye.
Yeah,
we were
exactly.
talking to Johnny Bridgewater, Bridgewater Performance. Go to bridgewaterperformance.com. Hey, when you the faith that you had in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you had to have faith in order to make this leap to doing what you're doing. There's no doubt in my mind that he's been guiding your steps with this.
Yeah, we started this whole campaign right now called Trust Us, because there's us in the middle of trust. And if it wasn't for my faith or trust, none of this would have happened. I mean, there's been times in my life where, without getting into the crazy details, I made horrible decisions. whether it be drinking too much or, you know, doing things that, even though I know they're wrong, you just do them. You know what I mean? You just, sometimes you just don't care as humans. And even like Pastor said before, as Christians, we still sin and do things like that. It's just, I still sin every day. I'm not perfect, right? I sometimes look back, I'm like, man, why did I do that? However, the conviction's different.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
The feeling is, like when I do something wrong, I feel like this, like it's hard to swallow. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
It's different, and you know, it's...
That's the work of the Holy Spirit living within you to convict you, not just your conscience,
right,
but the Spirit of God, you know, bringing conviction to your heart and soul when you're not doing what would honor and glorify Him.
Right. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and I've just said, I've been there, and if I want to fight God and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to keep doing it,
mm-hmm,
I pay the price.
Right.
I lose, and I finally bow my knee and say, Father, forgive me, and confess that sin to Him. And the great promise is He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, and we're back on right terms and
Johnny,
right relationship.
When you said, hey, I still sin every day, look, the book of Ephesians, we talk about putting on the full body of armor every day.
Mm-hmm.
There are times that I sin before I get out of bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like you, I'm thinking, what am I doing? Like, what are you thinking? You know better now.
Right.
You know, I was born and raised in a Catholic school and Catholic church, and they gave me the Bible and said, don't open it. Just read it. Or we'll tell you what's in it. You don't have to read it. We'll just carry it when we tell you to carry it. And somebody on this show said this once. They said, look, I knew Jesus Christ. I knew Him the same way I knew Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
I knew all the stories,
right,
but I had no relationship with Him. And that's where I was coming from. You know, I knew all the stories because I kept hearing them. And then they'd say, hey, you know what? The Monsignor's coming around today. Carry this Bible and carry it straight. And then give it back to us because we don't want you looking in it. Well, that made no sense to me. That made absolutely no sense. And, you know, similar to you, mine was a little different where I was in with a pastor at Eastside Baptist Church, and I said, look, I can't do this stuff anymore. I can't live this way anymore. I need your help. And he said, look, this Bible is the only way I know how to help you. And I said, let's go. Let's go to work. And thank goodness and thank God for Pastor Darrell, who was at Eastside Baptist Church at that point. But he was like your waves.
Yeah.
That's what he was to me, Johnny. And look, where you are now, imagine if you would have been trying to put together this new facility without this faith that you have, without guidance from God. I don't know if this could have gotten done.
I don't think so. I think I would have had a nervous breakdown because, like I said, we're still human. There was times I wanted to quit. There were times I cried. There was times I laughed. There was times I was like, I can't do this anymore. There was times I literally just wanted to get in my truck and drive down 36 and not stop. And you know what I mean? I just wanted to go until I couldn't go no more. And then call me when it's done, guys. You figure it out.
Right.
I mean, it caused, you know, a little tension with my wife and I because I would get there at 5 a.m. because I started doing stuff that I felt other people weren't doing fast enough. And then I would leave at 10 at night and it's like, hey, I never see you. And I'm like, hey, why don't you finally come help me? You know what I mean? And then I sit back and those are one of those moments like, what are you doing? And realize, well, you are helping me. You're taking care of three kids. You got food right on the table. You know what I mean, though? Like, you're cleaning the house. You're not asking much of me. You're letting me build my dream because you believe in me. And you're helping me, not in front of me. That goes to another thing. Like just because you don't see it, it doesn't mean it's not happening.
Right.
Or it doesn't mean it's not there. You
what
know?
Is your wife's name?
Her name is Alexandra.
Alexandra.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? Thank God for her.
Yes.
And yes. Look, Pastor and I talk about outkicking our coverage all the time. I haven't met her,
mm-hmm,
but I got a feeling you outkicked your coverage like we did, right?
She's
She's a little too good looking for you.
Way too good looking.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty good looking.
Yeah, you're so.
I'm not like cover model like she is, though.
Yeah.
I'm like page 17 in the corner, like, hey, there's a trainer.
What page you want, Pastor? Because whatever you're on, I'm right after you, by the way. So I don't want to get into what page. Why are you Matt, he is Johnny Bridgewater. Again, go to bridgewaterperformance.com. Hey, real quickly, Generations Against Bullying. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so, you know, that was kind of cool, too. So my uncle, he's kind of got a cool story, too, where, you know, he spent a lot of time in the prisons and not ministering. Like, he was a prisoner and, you know, in there found himself and had a lot of time to reflect on, holy cow, I was not that great of a person. He was actually on the Morning Blend not too long ago talking about this, and reached out to a lady named Linda who started this Generations Against Bullying, which is almost like a curriculum they want to start getting in schools now. Instead of being a bystander, like we were talking about earlier, being an upstander, right? It's almost like a police officer seeing a crime and not doing anything about it, right? So they want you to, they're trying to teach kids, like, hey, if you see the bullying and you feel like it's wrong, they want you to intervene, but try to teach it as a curriculum, because a lot of bullying young is learned behavior.
You bet.
You know what I mean? It's not like something some kid just wants to be mean or wants to be bullied. A lot of it is what they see. So he reached out to me because he knows I do a lot of motivational speaking. I've talked at NPS. I've done things like that. So Generations Against Bullying, I'm a huge supporter. I'm actually on their board right now. I'm one of their national speakers. If you go to gabnow.org, G-A-B-N-O-W.org, you'll find me on there. And a bunch of other people that have stories that just want to help these kids realize that it's bigger than school right now. There's a bigger picture. School is just a stepping stone to get to where you need to get to. So try to keep the kids out of trouble as well. I did a talk at MPS 6 weeks ago, and then last week I got a message, you know, and it actually made me like really emotional, because my story is different when I get in depth, and you know, sometimes I get embarrassed to say so, but I went and talked to these kids at MPS. So then the teacher reached out to me and said, hey, one of my students could have picked anybody, celebrity, politician, family member, to do a report on for somebody who inspired them, and she picked you. Mm. So I felt very honored and excited that all my goal was to reach one person in my entire life. And I've reached many, but every time I go into a speech, I'm like, man, if just one person listens. And the fact that she did a report on me, it should be done this week. They kind of keep updating me on it. She interviewed me. I answered some questions. And I don't know, it's just kind of cool. So there's this poster board really project about me getting made right now. It's kind of cool.
That's really cool. And obviously, when you get in front of these kids and you start telling your story, Leroy Butler, who you know.
Oh, yeah.
Here and he asked me, can I come talk to your basketball team? I said, yeah. Well, he got these, you know, these are Jeremy King, who, yeah, you know, these kids all in a room, and he gets up and starts telling his story about, you know, he couldn't run,
couldn't walk 6 years.
Yeah, he had on those big braces, and where he lived, and how many, you know, they had 31 murders in 28 days,
yeah,
in the projects in Jacksonville, Florida. And our kids, he spoke for an hour and 10 minutes, and they couldn't take their eyes off him. And because he just got down, he just said, look, I've been where some of you guys are at. I've been hungry. I've been trying to find where am I going to eat today. And I understand that you're going to be able to get through this. And he's got a really strong faith to his life. And he talked about that side of it and how his grandmother. And my favorite part, he said, he got in the car one day and he was crying because these kids were all making fun of him. And he said, Grandma, why are they doing that? And she said, don't worry about it. You know, the Lord gives everybody one special power. And he said, well, what's mine? And she said, yours is that you can deflect everything they're saying, because what are you going to do in your life? He said, I'm going to play in the NFL. She said, the Lord's giving you the power to deflect all that nonsense and noise, and don't worry about it, because you're Leroy Butler. And that, I'll never forget him telling that story. So similar to what you did to this girl, I think it's awesome, man. She's doing a report,
yeah,
on you. And when you walked out of there that day, you had no idea.
I had no clue. You know, I saw, you know, it was cool, though. You walk into MPS, and they're probably just like, oh, great, some other person that they're trying to bring in here to talk. You know, you can see the guard up on a lot of their faces. And, you know, about 10 minutes into about my 45-minute talk with them, about 95% of them were so engaged. And then almost everybody had a question too. And I always leave times for like Q&A at the end, and they're raising their hands. They were interested. I don't know. It was cool to see.
Man, that's awesome. He's Johnny Bridgewater again. Bridgewater Performance. I can go to bridgewaterperformance.com for more information. We got to get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue and we'll wrap this show up. This has been a good one. He's a really good young man doing a lot of good work in this community. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith.
Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church, my co-host, our special in-studio guest, Johnny Bridgewater, Bridgewater Performance. Go to bridgewaterperformance.com for more information. Hey, we only have a few minutes this segment, boys, and I touched on that first segment about you doing some work. The Bucks reached out, and you're doing some work for the Milwaukee Bucks. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so one of the Bucks rim rockers actually is one of my trainers. So that's kind of how the connection started to where, hey, can we practice at your gym sometime? You know, let's try to work a deal out where, you know, maybe we get you some tickets here and there and, you know, they can come practice at your facility and we could do like a rim rocker boot camp and things like that. So his boss reached out to me and said, hey, we'd like to invite you down. My wife and I got this timeout. We got Bucks tickets for game 5 against the Celtics when they won. Then the next day, they invited us to the arena and gave us this private tour. And it was so cool because I couldn't believe we got there at like 10:30 in the morning and they already had the court almost up. And then they were setting up for, I believe, which was Cher, which was that Sunday concert. But the cool part is it, no idea about, they had no idea I did motivational speaking. They had, all it was the partnership of
Bridgewater Performance
and the Rim Rockers. And, you know, we're going through this tour with the head of, guy of entertainment. And, you know, I start talking about, oh, yeah, this would be cool. You know, I've done motivational speaking to some of the kids who are in the Junior Rim Rocker program. I forget what they call them now. Long story short, they dunked with the Bucks the night before. And he goes, wait a minute, you do motivational speaking? He goes, we get that all the time when we go do entertainment things. Like, do you guys have anybody that could give us talk or anything on life or things like that? And he goes, would you be interested in doing that? And I said, what do you mean? Would I be interested? Sign me up. And he goes, that's awesome. He goes, anytime we get gigs, now you're going to be our guy for the entertainment team. So now I've been blessed to be thought of to, when it's requested, I'm the Bucks man now for motivational speaking and things like that.
Can you imagine, think about Johnny Bridgewater 15 years ago.
Yeah, sorry.
And if I said, hey, Johnny, let me tell you what's going to be happening in your life 15 years from now, that makes you laugh.
Yeah, it does, actually. I mean, I had no, you know, it's cool, though. Like, as dumb as it sounds, last year we went to Burlington, I think it was like Chocolate Fest or something like that. My wife and I had no Bridgewater Performance stuff on, and a bunch of kids came up and wanted to take a picture with Coach Bridgewater. And I'm like, wow, this is kind of cool. You know, yeah, what I mean? Like, I'm, God gave me the ability to change kids' lives. And, you know, I was telling, there's this kid that plays for my AAU team right now. His name's Tayshaun Bridges. The kid's the number 2 kid in the country for the class of 2024. The stuff that kid can do is amazing. And I'm doing my best right now to make sure that he stays on a straight path. Got a call from his mom. I know this is a little off topic. I just want to hit on it real quick. Thankful for everything I've done for him, because you normally people do stuff for him to get something back or hoping that if he makes it to the NBA or whatever, but she feels that it's so sincere and genuine. I really just want to keep this kid on track so he can have something that I didn't have,
right?
Because he has potential, and I felt like so did I. And, you know, I don't want to say mistakes, my choices, because I'll never consider my son a mistake, but he was a poor choice at that time, you know. But I also in pro-life, so he's with me now, and I thank God, because he's also going to be a Division I athlete, I think, for football if he keeps his mind right.
It's good to,
yeah, that's good,
I'm telling you, you know, he, I told you he'd bring it, didn't I?
Yeah.
I told you he'd bring it. Yeah. And end of the show, what do you like asking these guys?
So tell us, you know, since it's a sports show here, right, tell us your most exciting moment in football. When maybe you intercepted the pass, ran it back, or whatever you did, or you separated the ball carrier from the ball.
Put the guy in the stands in one of the arena games.
So, it actually, like, if you want to talk about my most famous, not famous, my most proud moment was actually not even in arena football. It was during, it's like some semi-pro league, outdoor league in California. I played for the Orange County Jaguars. So basically, if you played arena in the spring, you played outdoor in the fall. Right. That's kind of how it rolled. And I played with some pretty tough guys. And the other team would just not stop talking. I'm like, I can't take it anymore. I swear I felt like the water boy. The funniest part, and this I got the nickname for a while, water boy, because literally was like belligerently screaming, blitzing, hit the quarterback, picked up the ball, walked in the end zone, ran, not a proud moment, but best moment, ran over to their head coach and handed him the ball and ran back to my sideline.
See,
was anybody chasing you back over to your sideline?
No, but I did get a flag.
That's right. And, it felt good, didn't it?
Yeah, and then I stood in between this guy named Dion, who played for Fresno State. They actually retired his jersey number in high school too. He's pretty tough. And this guy named Nate Turner, who played in the NFL for 6 years for Chargers, was like, "Hey, listen, I'm walking in between you guys when we shake hands. I don't want anything to happen to me." Yeah, it was kind of funny.
That, there you go. Yeah. I have that same thing happened to me when I was playing in the Turkey Bowl, my family's Turkey Bowl. I got a pick, and I went and handed it to... No, I didn't do any of that stuff. Are you kidding me? Hey, last thing, Pastor, and this is more for you. We talk about, like I said earlier in the show, Tony Dungy talks a lot about platforms. And the Lord has blessed Johnny Bridgewater with an incredible platform to be able to spread the word, and he's going about his business, man.
Yeah, we've had several guys that I think God's given a platform. You know, Bobby Richardson. You know, I mean, a lot of the Yankees come back, you know, and say, "Hey, I want you to do my funeral." You know, he's not, his kids are pastors, but he's not a pastor. But he did Mickey Mantle's funeral, and then you got Bobby Bowden, you know, who had a huge impact on Leroy.
You know, and, you know who he's for, you know who Johnny's friends with? Marcus Hanel.
Oh yeah.
You know Marcus, yeah. Right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. First generation, get up on the mountaintop with us and preach the...
And Marcus is a guy I'll never forget because he's in here in studio, and he just went off on religion.
That he did.
He went off on religion that they don't. Nobody told me that Jesus Christ alone could take away my sin. They're telling me everything. I remember that session. He went hard after religion.
And he was not happy that he didn't know about it.
No, he was not happy.
A lot of people say, "Hey, you know, what religion are you?" Or, you know, I know you're, you know, you're this, you're that. I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." They're like, "Well, what do you mean?" I said, "I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't, that's the rule book I follow, the Bible. I don't, you know," and no disrespect to anybody else, but I don't have to go to get confirmed to marry my wife. Now, I know equally yoked is a huge thing, but believing that Jesus died for your sins and letting him into your heart is equally yoked. I don't want to take a class.
You know what? And I'm sorry, but we got to get out.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
But I'm just telling you that. Jerry and Darlene should be really, really proud of you.
Yeah, and I second that.
Go to bridgewaterperformance.com. This is a young man that he's going to be a friend of mine now for a while. I don't know if he's got enough weight in that gym for me, but I'll give it a shot.
I can put some on order.
You got to put some on order. Notice I got to talk smack, Pastor.
You do. You got to talk. You know what, Mike? I love it. I love it. And Johnny will take it on totally with you.
Yeah, you know what? He can handle that, guys. Thanks a lot, Johnny. It's great to see you.
Yeah,
this
John.
Is Faith in
likewise,
the Zone.
Likewise.
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.